Legend has it that Robert Johnson had a late night encounter at the crossroads with an African spirit named Papa Legba. The devil promised to make Robert Johnson the greatest blues musician in the world in return for Johnson's soul. With a little thought, Robert Johnson agreed. Embarking on the path of your dream job is undeniably significant, but in the realm of creatives, there exists a constant tension, a delicate balance where the desire to craft remarkable work collides with the pragmatic demands of life. From paying bills to putting food on the table, if you're lucky, you'll eventually understand that it's not merely about doing it, it's about doing it right. As most of you will appreciate, starting my own business for the first time was a pretty daunting affair. There's a lot of things I had to learn very quickly, and most of them were so far outside of my skill set that they were almost out of sight. But moving on was a necessary evil. As grateful as I'll always be for the opportunity that was working in advertising, especially since I was basically unemployable when I started there, after a while, I realised that I was never going to fit into the whole office politics thing. As much as I liked the people I worked with, I just didn't see the world in the same way as them. I was the square peg that refused to be rammed into the round hole. Local media deals with, in my opinion, some of the most difficult advertising clients. They have small budgets and expect every penny to show measurable, instant results. Add to this the grind and constant pressure of daily deadlines and you'll quickly develop some real skills with plenty of opportunity to hone them. It's kind of like the graphic design equivalent of being the walking artist. Local advertisers, like walking clients, simply can't afford to listen to fancy ideas about long-term awareness campaigns and nuanced advertising. They need every penny to work as hard as possible for them today. The truth is, they're mostly nothing more than market stall traders masquerading as designer brands with all the ethical values of your average Del Boy. Dodgy counterfeit companies trading off the hard work and expense of bigger companies. Sound familiar? Yeah, that's what I thought. So I decided that it was time to move on. I really struggled to get my head around all the new skills I needed. I'm no business genius, and I quickly realised that even though learning sound engineering and graphic design was challenging at times, it was nothing compared to learning the ins and outs of running a small business by myself. I've witnessed every one of my apprentices get to this stage in their tattoo careers, and to soften the blow of the terrifying realisation that learning to tattoo is actually the easy bit, I've built plenty of conversation about actually running a tattoo business into their training. But all alone in my office, a converted garden shed, I persevered and quickly discovered the skills I was trying to acquire were all professional services that I could engage. One of the people I contacted during this time would give me some of the best advice I've ever had about running my business, advice that I still use every day to this day. He would also eventually be the person who suggested that I should lean into my passion for art and hatred for commerce and actually make tattooing my career. The Hobnob Man. I'll call him this because when we first met, he told me that he was part of the team who created the legendary English biscuit, the Mighty Hobnob.
Hello, everybody. This is Hob.
Hobnob.
And this is Nob.
Nob a Hob.
And they're going to make a Hobnob bar. Shall we leave them to it? Oaty, crumbly, crunchy Hobnob biscuit with cream filling and covered in chocolate. Oh dear, they haven't quite managed it, have they? Never mind, here's some we made earlier.
New Hobnob bars. One nibble and you're
Hobnob-a-double.
He was a retired exec who offered startups like me business advice. I liked him the moment I met him, and we ended up chatting a lot about life, the universe and everything over terrible vending machine coffee. During this time, he gave me some of the most important and pivotal advice I've ever had and will always be thankful for. Amongst other things, he taught me to keep the main thing, and to start today and use what I have. These two single pieces of advice both fundamentally changed how I approach business and life, and they were also the catalyst for this very column/podcast. I started by sharing these stories on that tattoo show. You can find the main thing story and the start today story if you look back through the playlist. But quickly, I realised that the info would be better delivered in its own standalone series, this series. Leaving the only proper job I've ever had, my most pressing task was to find new clients, any clients. And that was my first mistake. Fear, my old friend Fear, had taken over and I took work from anyone who would pay me. The business grew and it was a success, or so I thought. My office very quickly became a dungeon, the shed of dread. I'd inadvertently used a local newspaper's attitude to finance to build a successful business based solely on profit. I was cranking out dog hydrotherapy leaflets, German street cleaner adverts, maternity websites, and all number of truly shite, unmemorable projects. I was better off than I'd ever been. I was a success, and I hated every fucking minute of it. But money had given me two things I'd never had before, freedom and choices. The work I was doing was so mindless that the only useful thing it afforded me was time. So I started reconnecting with old friends and acquaintances, mostly musicians and artists and some tattooists. I thought briefly about a return to the music business, but things had changed. I'd changed. I was no longer a musician. That was always plan B. I was a graphic designer now, and I was pretty good at it. But I'd yet to find my voice. I was unremarkable because the work I was creating wasn't mine. I was a shill, a cog in the media machine, selling magic beans and snake oil. What was needed was a course correction. I'd steered myself into those murky waters and I was lost in the fog of commerce. I was so blinded by fear that I couldn't even see it at the time. In retrospect, all the signs were there. Toxic business people with shallow worldviews, wannabe music business gangsters that reeked of cheap aftershave and their vinegar-faced wives with a lipstick on the teeth. The pursuit of a dream job often starts with an idealistic vision. My mistake was that my primary goal in those early days was freedom from the drudgery of office life. Freedom at any cost. That was my deal with the devil. The simple truth is that I had to get to my own crossroads to even understand that that was going to be the decision. It's unsurprising to me now that I struggle to realise something so simple. It was the first time in my life when I actually had a choice, any kind of choice. And it's a choice you'll hopefully face one day, and hopefully you'll remember this advice and do a better job than I did. When the pursuit of passion collides with the pragmatic realities of existence, our decisions will ultimately shape not just our careers, but the very essence of our identities. But I was lost, and it was going to take something big to jump the needle out the groove. The universe was going to have to put a huge test in front of me in order for me to realise my truth and the value I put on artistic freedom over glittering prizes. And I'll tell you all about that next time. Until then, the reason I told you the Robert Johnson story at the beginning of this episode is because it's a suitable analogy. At least I think it's an analogy. It's something anyway. If you believe the folklore, Robert Johnson did his deal at the crossroads and became the greatest guitarist the world's ever seen. But the bit of the story that doesn't get told as often is that actually the end of Robert Johnson's life wasn't particularly good. And if you believe the folklore, he also lost his soul. That's the analogy bit, the art and the deal with the devil. So for us as artists, our deal with the devil is the fact that we want to make beautiful artwork, but we also have a need to pay bills, you know, do all the kind of mundane stuff like pay the mortgage, pay the car payments, you know, put the kids through school, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that's what we're constantly having to balance, our need to make beautiful artwork with our need to get paid. And that's why I think it's a really easy trap for all creative people to fall into. You want to make this beautiful stuff, whether it's music, art, tattoos, paintings, it doesn't matter what it is. But in order to carry on making it and make it your living, you're going to have to get paid to do it. So you're going to have to enter into commerce. I fell into this trap as a graphic designer. And believe me, that was bad enough. And in the coming episodes, you'll see quite how far I fell into that pit, because we're not even halfway through the story yet. It gets a lot worse, believe me. But I think it's even easier to fall into that trap as a tattooist. And that's partly because of how we learn tattooing and the way tattooing is taught. You know, what normally happens is we spend all this time drawing. We get to the front door of the studio that has agreed to have us as an apprentice. We do our apprenticeships. And all the way through that, we're concentrating on the skills first, because that's what's taught first. Learn all of the basics, get good at all of the the traditional forms of tattooing, the classical forms of tattooing, if you like. You finish your apprenticeship with all of that knowledge in place, and the first thing that people do, or the first thing that mentors do, is go, right, you can start working on the small tattoos that come through the door. And it's at that point that you're immediately thrown almost to the wolves, because the people that are coming through the door with 30 or 40 pounds to spend on a tattoo, they want what they want. And because you're new to it and you're trying to build your skills and your experience, of course, that's exactly what you do. Often, for many of us, by the time you actually get to a point that you realise that, oh, actually, I'm running a business here, you've already been doing it for a number of years. You've got this client list and you've got this set of people, this commercial pressure. Because when I talk about commerce, I'm not talking purely about big business and sponsors. Our clients are exactly the same. They expect a service. What happens is you realise a couple of years into being a professional tattooist that you are running the business of being a professional creative. If tattooing was taught as a business first, which would be weird, but if it was, for instance, bear with me for a second, you would start from a completely different standpoint. If we learned tattooing differently and we learned it as a business and we learned it like we were setting up a business and our tattooing was a product or a service, we would write a business plan. We would establish who we were going to sell the product to. We'd find out who they were. We'd find out where they were. We'd have a thing called market research. We'd decide where we were going to advertise, and we would get all of this in place before we started learning to tattoo. One of the conversations I have really, really early doors with all of my apprentices is I ask them a simple question. Why do you want to be a tattooist? That might seem like a really obvious question, but if you really think about it for a second, it's like, why do you want to do it? Now, if you want a comfortable life and you want to get well paid for a job that's fun and you don't really mind what you draw because you're more interested in the technical side of tattooing and doing something, you know, something beautiful, but you're not too worried about the artwork, then you'll be much better off than most of us, because tattooing as a service is a lot easier to deal with. People come through the door, they ask you for an image, you tell them whether you can draw it or not, you draw it up, you tattoo it on. But for an ever-increasing percentage of us who come from arts backgrounds, actually the art is much more important than that. And you'll see this, you know, this whole first season is all about the push-pull between authenticity and creativity and the need to get paid and the presence of commerce in all creative fields, because tattooing isn't any different from any other creative field. Wherever there is art, there are people who will sell that art. And the way I like to explain that to apprentices, find your true north. Now, your true north is not true north, right? It's just what you want. That's why I asked the question, why do you want to be a tattooist? If somebody said to me, well, I just want to be really, really famous tattooist, I want to make a ton of money, I want to buy a Lamborghini, I'm like, great, I wish I was like you, because that'll be much easier to deal with. But if your true north is, I want to make beautiful, meaningful, real art that means something to me, because art is completely subjective, right? Then you're always going to have to keep an eye on that true north and constantly course correct throughout your career. Because believe me, as much as you might think that you can avoid this, I don't think anybody in any of the creative fields avoids this. At some point, you find yourself having taken a wrong turn and you've gotten off the path that you wanted to be on. For me personally, it's an easier course correction because of things like the stuff that I've told you about so far and the stuff that I'm going to tell you about in the upcoming episodes. I've experienced it to a pretty ridiculous degree because of my own inexperience, naivety, lack of education. Can I call you back in about 10 minutes, mate? I'm just in the middle of filming something. All right, phone you back in about 10. Cheers, mate. Try a bit. We're all going to draw this line somewhere differently. We're all different human beings with different needs, and we'll all make different compromises and different levels of compromise on this show, you know, with Chris. You know, me and Chris draw those lines in slightly different places, so we constantly have to kind of negotiate what we're both happy with. Neither of us is right or wrong, we're just different, and you'll be different to me. You might have different feelings about that. I think this is true for everybody, even the guys that come in going, well, I want to make money doing this. I think the thing that you find ultimately after a little while, once you get all the things that you think you want, you realise that this art form that we all love, that we're all passionate about, if you're just doing it, yeah, it'll feed you. But if you're not doing it right, and your version of right is your version of right, it's not going to feed your soul. So what do we do about it? Good fucking question. In the absence, I guess, of any solid advice, well, if I'm honest, I'm not sure that there is one answer that I can tell you. Do these three things and it will never happen to you, because I just don't think that's the way this works. I think you just have to be vigilant and understand that the presence of commerce around art has always been there, and it will always be there, and it is a deal with the devil. But like all deals, you can negotiate the terms of that deal. And that's pretty much what we all have to do. Find your true north, try and stay on course, and negotiate the terms of your deal with the devil. Sorry, I can't give you a three-step program to avoid this, but you will almost certainly fall into this trap at some point during your career. You can renegotiate your deal with the devil. And if you've set your goals early on in your career, as early as you can, then you can always course correct back towards that true north. If you've got a long way off the path, it might take you a little way to get back to it, but you can get back there. And that, unfortunately, is about the best advice I can give you. And if you've got a better idea or a better version of how you can get out of it, please tell me, because I'd love to know. Hit me up in the comments down below and hit the subscribe button while you're there, because that helps the, you know, algorithm god. As a very wise man once said, meet the new boss, same as the old boss, you know. Never ends, just feeding the money machine somewhere. And so with that, I hope that this has been helpful, at least. This has been I Beg to Differ, and I'll see you next month, guys. Take care. I Beg to Differ is available in video format on YouTube, in audio format wherever you listen to podcasts, and in its written form in Total Tattoo Magazine, every issue.